Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of people first, profits follow. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fabulous Brandon Hammond. Welcome, Brandon.
Hey, Paul. How are you? It's great to be here.
I'm doing great. We're excited to have you. And I know this is a topic that you're passionate about. And I know you wanted to start with talking a little bit about retention. And I think one of the things that you said before was retention isn't a mystery, it's a reflection. Let's dive into that.
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't talk about the topic of people first without talking about retention. It's one of the most straightforward performance indicators that you can have in looking at resident retention. I'm a huge believer in just the overall framework that if you take care of your people will take care of their residents. And if your people and your residents are happy, that the owners will profit and assets, asset valuations will grow. And, and ultimately that's what drives this business and helps companies grow and companies succeed. And it starts with the people on the front lines every single day. And, you know, probably the easiest KPI to pull on is, you know, what is your employee retention? You can do a lot of surveys and a lot of companies do survey their employees, but, you know, the raw data is, are your employees staying or are they leaving?
And let's talk a little bit about some of the real everyday ways companies can show that they're truly investing in their people and not just saying it. What are some of those things that you've seen?
So I think the beginning of that is really allowing and empowering your people leaders to understand their teams, to get to know their teams, to meet with their teams and get to know them on a level beyond just what is the job and what are their tasks and are they succeeding or failing at those tasks. And one thing that I've done in the past, actually a recent company that I worked for, which was actually the first time that, the metric of employee retention was brought up during my interview process for this role. And it was said like, hey, this team has a really bad retention rate. We'd like you to improve that. And I took that as a challenge. And one of the first things that I really focused in on in a new role with a national team is, going and meeting people where they were, physically going and meeting people where they were. And it was a national fully remote team. We were coming out of COVID, so everybody was still working remotely, but we were traveling and the world had opened up a little bit. We just weren't back in offices. So we met at coffee shops. We met at places like Topgolf. We had a lot of lunches, a lot of breakfasts, where the topic of conversation ended up being far more about who they were and what their families were like and what motivated them and what their aspirations were, and a lot less, here's what we need to do over the next quarter. And, you know, and understanding those team members' aspirations, it really helped myself and the other managers that worked on my team, or my people leaders, really helped them manage them in a way where they felt more appreciated and more empowered. They were developing, and that made a ton of difference. We communicated frequently and transparently and thoroughly, and and employees just started trusting us as leaders, really buying into any changes that we felt we needed to make. And we grew really, really close as a team. And this was a team that started at about 75 people and ended up growing to 165 people. Wow. And even in that growth, we were able to really kind of build a level of rapport initially and then trust later on that really kind of started to pay off. And within about a year of year time, that team that had a 22% turnover rate annually, we drove that down to under 8% annually. Wow. Within a year, just by, again, kind of going out, getting in front of people, and showing them that we cared about them as people and not just them as workers and what they could do for our company. And, you know, that is the most instructive experience I've had in people leadership in my career, was that job and that challenge that, again, got put forth in, I think, the second interview for that role.
You know, what you say is so true. And you know, we've had folks on show in previous episodes, and we've talked about turnover and so forth. You know, one of the things that a lot of people think needs to be improved within companies where they're having a lot of turnover is the fact that there's not a lot of transparency from upper management. What have you found about that?
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate for allowing your teams to ask questions. And sometimes that's making sure that, you know, that there's 10 minutes at the end of a meeting allowed for questions. Sometimes it's sitting in a room with them for as many hours as it takes to answer all of their questions. And obviously many points in between those two ends of the spectrum. And when you answer, be as transparent as you possibly can be and authentic as you possibly can be. You know, that's where you really will start to build that level of trust with your teams. It's I think very cliche, but you know, people can smell if you're trying to pull one over on them. Mm-hmm. They can sense it, and try not to do that as a leader. It's just the most basic way that I can say it. As a leader, you can't always say everything. You can't always be fully transparent. I mean, the you know, leadership is as much kind of a gatekeeping position as anything sometimes. But, you know, I've always erred on the side of being more transparent than less transparent and trusting my people to accept and to process the information and then act as they see fit and usually do the right thing. And I think if you, you know, approach those sessions with a bunch of corporate jargon or, you know, business school talk or a lot of acronyms, you know, those conversations, they end really fast and you don't see positive results. You either have to, you know, repeat instructions or pivot a lot or, you know, or that kind of thing. You just don't gain that amount of buy-in that you need to have a sustainable success with a team. And that to me is what it's all about too, is making sure that the success is sustainable and self-sustaining and not episodic, where you kind of, you hit the reset button each time there's a new strategic initiative or each time there's a new policy or new procedure. You know, you really kind of start building your management style and your management of your team and your leadership of your team more like a free flowing conversation rather than you know, hey, on this week's episode, we're going to change the way that we input application data. And, you know, and then on next week's episode, we're going to change the cadence, communication cadence on our collections, or things like that. Everything just starts flowing more naturally the more transparent you are, and the more context they have on the why of what you're doing or what your company is doing.
We've got about a minute and a half left in this segment. I wanted to ask you, you know, a lot of times I've heard people say that, you know, if you have a bad apple as part of your team out in the field and upper management doesn't do anything about it, that causes problems with retention because people see that, you know, that they've got somebody who's causing issues, but that management's not doing anything about it. What do you recommend there?
Yeah, I think taking a really hard look at what's causing someone to be a quote unquote bad apple is the first thing that you have to do. And whether that's at the community manager role or the regional manager role, which, you know, incidentally, I think the regional manager role is probably the hardest role we have in our industry and most important, you know, or someone from the HR team, you know, really make sure that you as a manager and a leader are giving the employee that's at issue all the tools that they need to succeed. And sometimes that tool is just a clear mission and clarity of mission. Sometimes it's access to a technology platform that they don't have the right access to. Sometimes it's, if it's on the maintenance side, sometimes it's just the materials that they need to finish up their service requests. And if you can go through and you can check all those boxes, then I think that absolutely it's time to start coaching conversations and really start working with them on, and being specific for what opportunity they have to improve. But I would not start those until I have looked at myself and my own leadership first and made sure, hey, am I giving you everything you need to succeed?
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be right back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net and see for yourself today.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of people first, profits follow. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the amazing Brandon Hammond. Before we jump into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you'd like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Brandon, I know in this segment we want to talk about service excellence is operational excellence. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that over the last probably 5 years, I would say, in our industry, the phrase operational excellence has been thrown out a lot. Positions have been created in some of the larger companies, director of operational excellence, and, you know, or performance management or things like that. And these roles, I think, they're very important. I think taking data and making sure that you have a standardized view of your assets and your teams is incredibly important. So I don't want to downplay that role or the folks that approach the business that way. But I think sometimes kind of that pendulum swings a little bit too much where you get really focused on a certain couple of KPIs that are either too high level, so they don't tell enough of the story, or are too granular and don't tell enough of the story. So from either end, kind of the 30,000 foot view or the 10 foot view. And often the better KPIs are ones to look at in between. And I think the more our industry evolves and the more we start striving for, you know, a hospitality experience for our residents, which is something that just a few weeks ago at NAA, I heard that buzzword a few times. The more I am interested in looking at KPIs that better demonstrate the resident experience and then translating those back into financial KPIs and financial performance and value growth in your operations. Yeah, and the most basic of which is you know, something like resident retention rate and how frequently your residents are renewing, or looking at something like average length of residency. So not just how well you're doing on the one individual lease renewal, you know, at that time for a resident, but looking at the entire lifespan of that resident and saying, you know, our residents on average stay 3.5 years. And you know, that would be a phenomenal mark for a company to go. And when you look at a metric like that, and you look at a resident that is staying for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and signing multiple leases, you can really start backing into how successful that property can become financially. You start looking at, you know, if they stay over 3 leases, then you've probably saved somewhere between $10,000 and $12,000 on turn expenses over that period of time. Probably another several thousand dollars on marketing expenses and on concessions that you would have offered new residents to come in and take over that lease. And in a lot of markets right now, you know, you're seeing rent growth higher on renewals than you are on new leases, just because of some of the supply and demand economics that we're seeing, or dynamics that we're seeing in certain markets. And so I think the more and more you coach your teams and start allowing your teams to focus on creating an excellent resident experience, you'll end up starting to see the higher level KPIs, the financial KPIs, NOI growth, asset value growth, that kind of thing. You'll see those things start to fall in line. And it's easier for, I think, your onsite teams especially to focus on how can I make this situation better for the resident in front of me right now and this month and the like, than trying to get them to focus on a really big picture goal or a really long-term 12 or 18 month strategic goal. And then that's where the magic of the leader comes in, is how do you tie that service excellence into the strategic goal and start kind of coaching your teams toward that end.
We've got about 6 minutes left in the segment. You know, so many companies out there are focusing on growth and scale, but that can come with some pitfalls. What would those be?
Yeah, you know, I have had a few conversations over the last actually just couple of weeks with operators of smaller property management companies, the 1,000 front doors, 2,000 front doors, they've talked about scale and they've asked me about scale. My last company that I was with had 90,000 front doors. And we talked about just kind of, again, quality of service. And before they go out and chase more more units, we have the conversation that, you know, they need to make sure that they are serving all of their residents and all of their owner clients as best they can at 1,000 front doors, you know, before they try to strive for 5,000 front doors, or, you know, at 2,000 front doors before they, you know, shoot for the stars and want to go to 20,000 front doors. If you can't do the one, then you certainly are not going to be able to do the other. And I've worked in companies that were fairly stuck in their ways. I think we all have. I've worked in companies that are constantly changing, and you know, where the biggest saying that we had in the company was that the only constant was change. And and looking at those companies and looking at what their aspirations are, the ones that are just changing all the time, you know, everybody's kind of running around not knowing, you know, who their key contact is, not knowing who the real stakeholder is, not knowing what the real strategy is. There's no clarity of vision for that company or from the executive level. And that just becomes just this kind of cacophony of noise and change and uncertainty. And what it also becomes is a lack of positive outcomes for any stakeholders, for your residents, for your teams, for your executive leadership, for your owner clients. And so, you know, to me, I think it really behooves us right now in our industry, before you chase scale, to make sure that you have systems and policies and processes in place to support your people so that they can give the best service to their residents, and so that you can give the best service to your owner clients before you go and try to double in size or triple in size. And, you know, it's something I don't know that a lot of executive leaders are looking at it like that. I think that a lot of them kind of just try to chase size for a lot of great reasons. But, you know, it's a lot harder to fix the problem when you're 25, 30, 35,000 doors, if you could have fixed it at 3,500 doors.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We've got about 2.5 minutes left in the segment, and I wanted to ask you, because you had mentioned earlier, start with the why, but how do you actually get your team to buy into the why?
I think that's where the conversation that we had in the last segment comes in, is allow a lot of space for questions. And, you know, I think as a leader, we all receive information and convey information in different ways. And so as a leader, you're going to have your own understanding of vision and mission for your company and the why behind what you're doing it. And you're going to convey that to your team. But not everybody on the team is going to receive that message in the same way. And so I think that's where allowing the space for questions and then answering those questions very forthrightly and very transparently is critical, so that you build their understanding of the why. And I don't think that you really ever get buy-in unless you have that understanding as the most basic level. The other thing that I do, I think this is incredibly key for a lot of leaders, is, and especially in large companies, really tie in what your team members are doing day to day, what their practical, you know, day to day, hour to hour actions are on site and with residents and with each other. Really tie that into the overall performance of the asset, so of the full community, of the portfolio, and of the company. And if you work over time to help them understand how, you know, small actions can really build up into big positive performance, I think you start gaining that buy-in slowly over time as well, and sometimes quickly over time as well. You know, it can start to snowball in a good way. And so those are the two things that I'd say is, you know, understand that not everybody receives information the same way. And so allow them to ask questions and answer those questions forthrightly, and then tie their actions to the big picture. And those are the two ways that I've seen buy-in really kind of that click in for teams.
All right. That's great information, but we're going to pause it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and AppFolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Hi, this is Remy Marks, the Chief Connection Officer of Multifamily Now 24/7 Internet Radio, the first and only radio station created exclusively for the multifamily industry. It's where professionals come together for nonstop insights, stories, and conversations that move our industry forward. And now you can take that pride beyond the airwaves with the Multifamily Now store. From t-shirts and gear with the inside jokes only multifamily property pros understand, to the apparel that celebrates the people who keep communities thriving, this is where property management meets personality. Visit multifamilynow.com to tune in and to shop the store. Multifamily Now, the voice and the style of our industry.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co. Zentra.co. Zintra.co. Or contact your Allegion representative.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network, and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of people first, profits follow. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the fantastic Brandon Hammond. I want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Plumber, boost your bottom line with custom utility allowance models. Zentra, a seamless security solution designed to solve the everyday problems of shared property access. Zentra is the convergence of exceptional security and convenience. And Two Dots, the only true all-in-one fraud prevention and underwriting solution for multifamily, trusted by six of the NMHC top 10. So, Brandon, you mentioned in the break that you want to talk a little bit about solve the right problem the first time. What does that mean?
Yeah, I think that in multifamily, especially as you start climbing the corporate ladder and you get into regional positions and VP positions and the like, which is the journey that so many of us usually take, is at some point on that journey, you'll start to hear about the four P's of property management, you know, product, price, promotion, or people. And I think that depending on what your role is in our industry, you always kind of have a default this is usually the problem of those four P's. And I think in some companies or some leaders find themselves defaulting to people problems. They just don't have the right teams. They have the proverbial bad apple that we mentioned in an earlier segment. And I don't think that that's the way to approach really any problem. I think that you can have a little bit more systematic and more thoughtful approach to solving problems than always kind of having this, you know, default catch-all of people. You know, good people are incredibly hard to find. Mm-hmm. So it kind of behooves you to not say that is the problem, at least not first. So I think that there's a few different ways that you can approach problem solving. And I think that approaching them in those ways help you solve problems for the first time you encounter them, instead of having to circle back and solve the same problems over and over.
I know you mentioned in your notes to me that you always ask, is this an item or is this an issue? And I love the idea of that. Can you give us some simple examples of what that looks like in action?
Yeah, absolutely. So my last couple of roles, you know, as a leader, these are roles that, you know, that crossed things like COVID happening in the world and quarantining and working from home for the first time. And just a lot of massive changes in how we do business. Technology accelerated a great deal and its place in what we do accelerated a great deal across the last 5 to 6 years. And so there are times in my last few roles where, you know, emotions have run high and people have overreacted sometimes to problems that they see, either on site at a community or in my time at SFR at a certain home or with a particular resident, where an issue comes up. And I always try to start the conversation with them of really assessing the scope and scale of the problem that we're facing. And I ask them, is this an item or is this an issue? You know, we look at it and we say, is this happening 2 or 3% of the time? Where we have it, had it only happen one time. And those things are an item and you don't discount them. And you address the item in the moment and you keep your eye out for it becoming a repeat item. But, you know, to me, you don't really start a problem solving framework until something becomes an issue. And you look at it and you say, is this happening 20% of the time or 30% of the time that we do it? Is this happening more than half the time that we try to apply this policy or this process? And if it is, then you really, that's where I think you really roll up your sleeves and you start kind of digging in. You know, to me, I've built a framework with some of my most recent teams, you know, one that starts, really big picture. And if you have an issue, you kind of start at that end of the framework and the other that's really small picture and it's an individual person and maybe the problem. And if it's an item, then that might be it. And the framework is moving from system to policy, to process, to people, to person. And you look at something and, you know, say you have a problem and you're finding out that it is happening half the time. You go through a new process. That's an issue. That's a big issue. And so to me, you kind of look at, say it's your property management software and an error keeps popping up. Is that happening more than half the time? Is it a settings issue within the system or the technological platform that we have? Do we need to fix that first? And will that fix the problem for everybody every time that it happens? And if that's not the case, then you kind of look at, you know, what is the policy that we have in place that pertains to this issue that we're having? You know, do we have the spirit of the policy right, but not the letter of the policy right? Is there an area where something is getting misinterpreted quite often? And that may or may not be the issue, but if you're examining that, then you're again kind of looking at what's the broadest solution that we can apply, so that we can really fix the issue. The next I would say is the process. And it's similar to policy. If there's an SOP for this issue, is it written the right way? Is it easy to understand? Is it easy to follow given the tools or the platforms that our team has at hand to do their day-to-day work? So you kind of look at that, and these are all, you know, company problems. They're not on the person side yet. It's really, again, kind of taking that approach of looking inwardly and saying, are you putting people in a position to succeed? The next I'd say is if you look at system policy process and all of those things are fine, the next I'd say is look and see if this is happening among a certain group of people. Did they all go to one single training session where, where an instruction was misunderstood or they ran out of time and couldn't go through the full training or something like that? If that's the case, then you can go and you can kind of retrain and you identify the group and you retrain the whole group. And if it's a person problem, if you can only identify it happening, going back to the earlier kind of assessment of it, 50% of the time, but it's only 50% of the time when one person does it, then you can really kind of start zeroing in and training that one person and coaching that one person on, either a better interpretation of the process or again, maybe it's as simple as they just don't have the right permissions in your property management software or something like that. And I find that, that if you kind of look at that spectrum of system all the way down to person, you can start at either end to solve your problem. But if you go through a framework like that, you're tending to solve the problems the first time. And you're not just assuming that you know where the root cause is using like the four P's and having a problem that will kind of creep up multiple times. And because you solved the wrong P that time.
We've got about 2 minutes left in the segment, and I wanted to ask you, why do you think people are so quick to blame the team when something's off, and what do you recommend they do instead of that?
Well, I think, at companies, we get really invested in our software platforms or really invested in an employee manual or a policies and procedures manual. These are parts of our operations that we spend a lot of time and invest a lot of energy and a lot of money in. And, I think as leaders and managers and executives, we really put a lot of trust in that investment and want the problem to be, to not be something that we spent so much time and energy in. And usually the answer is not an overhaul of any of these things. Usually it's just a tweak or clarifying an SOP or things like that. It's a fairly simple fix to one of those tenets of what we do. But that to me is you get really invested in a big software initiative or something that the company has really put a focus on and people are hesitant to raise their hand and say, hey, I found an error. Can we fix it? They don't want to be the bad guy in the company's eyes.
All right. We are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Is your multifamily property still on clunky mechanical locks or managing multiple systems for electronic locks? There's a better way to manage your property's access. Zintra is a single system to manage unit, perimeter, and amenity spaces for your multifamily property. Zintra is designed for property and maintenance staff who are overwhelmed and need a system that works from the leasing office to on the go with the Zintra mobile app. Whether you're a leasing agent handling a move-in, a property manager generating reports, or maintenance staff accessing a work order, Zintra will handle your access needs simply and securely. Zintra is paired with Schlage's world-class line of hardware and is now the first to be able to offer Resident Key in Apple Wallet as a solution for tap-and-go entry to all access points on your property with an iPhone or Apple Watch. With Zintra, you don't have to sacrifice between a world-class experience for your residents and decreasing the workload on your staff. Zintra is quick, simple, and secure enough to handle all your multifamily property's access needs. To get started, visit Zintra.co, Zentra.co, Zintra.co, or contact your Allegion representative.
Still using the Public Housing Authority's utility allowance? Plumbers, Water, and Energy Efficiency Team can develop a custom allowance model to boost your bottom line and help pay for upgrades. Plumber partners with affordable housing providers across the country. With over 1,000 successful custom utility allowance models, they know how to make the business case for efficiency. They can also help you with green building certifications, upgrades, and more. Learn about their no-risk guarantee and how they can help you at plumber.com. That's P-L-U-M-M-E-R.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Welcome to the future of property management with Two Dots, the revolutionary platform that transforms how you verify income and identity while stopping fraud in its tracks. Manual reviews are slow, error-prone, and risky. Two Dots automates verification with advanced AI that instantly detects fake documents, and our team handles the follow-ups so your leasing agents don't have to. Save 1.5 hours per applicant, minimize legal risk, and unlock up to $300 in additional NOI per unit annually. But don't take our word for it. We'll test all of your previous applications for fraud free in just 15 minutes to show you what you missed. Say goodbye to bad debt and hello to smarter, faster leasing with Two Dots. Visit us at twodots.net. That's TWODOTS.net and see for yourself today.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, powered by the Multifamily Media Network and coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of people first, profits follow. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, the awesome Brandon Hammond. Before we jump back into the conversations, I do want to remind our listeners that here are some of the other exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Brandon, in your notes, you also have leading at the nexus of people, data, tech, and strategy. Let's dive into that. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, I think that as leaders and certainly as executives, we can really get wrapped up in a new tech initiative. And I mentioned this in the last segment, a new tech initiative or a new strategy that we're implementing. We can really start diving into the data and not come out of the data. And, you know, and there's so many tools out there, whether it be technological tools or platforms that we're investing in and we're using with our teams. And we're hoping we'll solve some of our problems that we have. We're hoping we'll get us closer to achieving a big strategic goal. There's so many business intelligence tools that we look at and from a data perspective and can get, again, as I said, really wrapped up in that. But to me, I think one of the unique things in our kind of time and society that we live in about property management is that we are managing people's homes, and it is where they spend the bulk of their time. It's where they raise their children. It's where they cook their meals. It's where they raise their pets. It's where they play video games. It's where they, you know, read books. And It's where they live their lives. And as long as we're managing people's homes, which I think is such an amazing mission that we all have collectively, this is always going to be a people business. And more specifically, it's going to be about our people and our teams creating that experience and creating that home for our residents and that group of people. And, I encourage all leaders out there to really understand that this will first and foremost be a people business, I think in perpetuity. And I think that's one of the beauties of it. You can use technology to supplement your team and to help them be more effective. You can use data and business intelligence tools to measure that effectiveness based on kind of what your goals as a company are. You can pivot to a different strategy, but you have to make sure that those things align really well for your teams. And then as we've talked about, you have to kind of give them clarity of mission and clarity of vision and then give them the space to understand why that is your mission and your vision, or why this is your new strategic goal, or why we're switching to a different tech platform, or why this is a new KPI we want to focus on. Because as leaders and executives, we can't accomplish anything unless we're doing it through our teams. We can't accomplish anything on our own. None of the companies in this business are one man shows or one woman shows. You really have to understand that we're always going to be working through people. And I'll reiterate, we're working through people to create homes, which is such a high calling and an amazing mission.
We've got about 3 minutes left before I want to transition to something else to discuss with you. But I wanted to see, there's so much tech and data out there. How do you keep it helpful and not just noise for your teams?
Yeah, I think, investing in that training and the learning and development is so critical, and even more critical in today's environment where companies have really broad and diverse tech stacks. And you have on-site teams that, that have 8 or 10 or 12 logins or more, unfortunately. I think that's where the learning and development comes in, and really helping your teams have an understanding of what the purpose of each platform is and how they can use it in the most effective way. And that's where I do think a lot of companies kind of pull back. They assume that everybody kind of understands, like, hey, we're implementing this new tool and this is what you use it for. And there's some tutorials on the site that you can go through. And if you're not demonstrating the value, especially for on-site teams, they're not going to use that new tool. And as a company, you don't end up seeing any ROI from that investment in that new technological either platform or application. The residents aren't seeing the benefit of the new application if it's something that is going to enhance the resident experience. The teams aren't seeing more efficiency or less time spent on busy work if that's the purpose of it. All because, you're taken to use an analogy and, football analogy. You're kind of taking the ball up to like the 90-yard line of evaluating and selecting a new system and a new process and signing a contract and going through migration and implementation and then just kind of stopping at the 10-yard line. And you never really put the ball in the end zone. It's that last 10 yards of kind of diving in and helping your teams gain that understanding. And we talked about buy-in in an earlier segment. Gain that buy-in for that new tool, I think, is so critical. And if the companies that do that really well, they can even have tech stacks that are a little bit more disjointed and complex. But if their teams know how to maximize it and navigate it, they're going to be more effective teams than companies that don't demonstrate that use and that benefits for their team, even if the tech stack is more seamless sometimes, or a shorter tech stack with fewer logins. So it's all about kind of showing your team how the tech works for them.
Yeah, and we could talk about this for another two or three segments, but I want to transition before we end the episode, because our listeners are always interested in knowing about our guest's journey, how they got into the business. And so share your journey of how you got into the industry, and also tell people what you're doing now, what you're looking for, and also how they can get in touch with you if they want to.
Yeah, absolutely. I think like so many people in this industry, I kind of fell into it. I became a leasing agent and resident assistant at the private off-campus dorm that I lived at in college. And as resident assistants at that dorm, we gave the leasing tours. This was back in, you know, I won't say the year, but this was back with a company that that was called Allen & O'Hara at the time and has gone through a couple of different name changes. And the people that know student housing back then will know what I'm talking about. I was fortunate enough to where they offered me a full-time job after I graduated and at another dormitory in the state that I lived. And, you know, I fell in love with the industry, and I've gotten out of it. I've been a realtor before. I still hold my real estate license. So I've taken a couple of steps away, but I always come back to property management, and I've worked in multifamily and off-campus student housing and single family. I've worked on the resident facing operation side. I've worked on the construction and turn side, and I've worked in small businesses and some of the largest operators in the country. But, you know, I've touched just about every base that you can touch in our industry, and I absolutely love it. And to me, as I said, it's about creating homes for people, and it's about leading, a collective group toward creating those homes and really kind of broadening your own impact as a leader. It's just so much fun to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And so tell our listeners what you're doing now and what you're looking for, as well as how to get in touch with you.
So right now I'm actually, I am the proverbial hashtag open to work on LinkedIn. I'm looking for my next role and taking interviews with many companies. I'm talking with a few companies about director and VP level operations roles with property management operators. I've also been talking with a few companies about business development and strategic partnerships on the vendor side. And that's something I spent the first part of this year doing in a contract basis. And I'm really interested in continuing to do. It's a different way of getting to solve teams problems and help residents out for an entire company. And it's been a different side of the business and one that was a lot of fun.
Right.
So I am actively interviewing. Anybody can reach out to me, either find me on LinkedIn, or my cell phone number is 919-418-4150. But I'm happy to have conversations if somebody has a great opportunity out there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.